Let's explore the biggest question of them all. Why do we eat?
To stay alive. And it's very enjoyable.
And I'm hungry. I eat when I'm hungry. It's horrible being hungry.
To stay healthy.
Except eating can make you ill if you eat the wrong things in the wrong quantities, like I did.
But you don't usually do that, Bob, do you?
Well, but for years, I just didn't think about it.
I see what you mean. Right.
I got heavier and heavier, but I stayed relatively mobile, relatively fit. I played badminton and such like. So I thought, yeah, this is all fine. And then one day I go to the doctor's and he says, by the way, you've got diabetes type 2. Oh, thanks very much. Where did you find that? And of course, yeah, it was 15, 20, maybe more years of just not thinking about what to eat, why to eat, when to eat, when to stop.
But were you, in those years, still enjoying your food, though?
So you can enjoy special foods, but everyday food, I'm afraid, I just eat. And I'm very rarely very hungry, I'm very rarely actually full. So, you know, if somebody put, I was always brought up not to leave stuff on my plate because that was bad and people in Africa were starving and everything. So, you know, if somebody put stuff on my plate, I eat it, and if there's some left in the bowl, I think, well, what's the point of that? And so I'd eat that as well. And I wasn't full, so nothing stopped me except, you know, occasionally other people would say, I think you're overdoing it a bit. But
well, so you weren't really enjoying
a lot of the time, no. It's just, I wasn't not enjoying it, it wasn't a trial, but I was just eating it.
Interesting, isn't it? Do you enjoy food more now, do you think?
I have to think about it. You know, if it's just there and it's meal time, I eat it. And if I don't, especially if the television's on, obviously you're focused on something else. Yeah, I've eaten it. Shall I stop now? Is there cheese in the fridge? Oh. So I have to be, you know, as I said before, you have to decide not to eat everything, something, all the time. Because as soon as you give in once, then you eat it.
It is a sort of social convention, isn't it, that you eat and people expect you to have breakfast, lunch and tea, and breakfast, lunch and supper. But it's, if you just said, well, I don't, I just have one meal a day, people would think you were a bit old. It is, you know, people expect you to have these meals, don't they?
And if you go to somebody's house for dinner or meal and you didn't eat, they'd be offended.
Yeah.
No, you do eat to please people sometimes, don't you?
Sometimes.
No.
But if you knew you were going to dinner,
you'd
be make sure that you wanted to eat when you got there, wouldn't you?
No. But I mean, like, if I go to my son and daughter-in-law's to babysit, they will say, oh, we'll get you something to eat, and they think it's a real, you know, they'll get me pizza. I don't eat pizza, I don't eat white bread, but I wouldn't want to offend my daughter-in-law, so I eat it, say it's lovely, I've enjoyed it, but then I feel really terrible when I get home and really guilty that I've eaten it. Because I shouldn't. I'd never have it at home. But, you know, that's what she's going to get for the children when I'm there babysitting, so, you know. But I normally have my own food in my bag, and when they've gone out, they're in bed because they do talk.
But the social
always have something with me to eat my own food.
The social convention of sitting around eating with lots of people. I mean, you know, if this was a dining table and we were all sitting here eating, well, it would make a lot of noise, wouldn't it? But it would be quite different, wouldn't it? Rather than us sitting around like this, and you could, I think that would be quite nice. But I just think it's nice to eat with other people
And I enjoy my food. I look forward to it.
Same here.
Every mealtime. And sometimes I'm eating it and I'm thinking, oh, it's going to end in a minute. What a shame.
And I, even when I'm on my own, I always do a proper meal for myself.
And enjoy it.
I always enjoy making it and preparing it and eating it.
I do.
Same here.
What I don't like is the endlessly having to think of a meal and then buying the food and cooking it. And I don't like doing it all the time. Sometimes I love cooking, but I don't like the regular humdrum having to, oh God, what are we going to have tonight to eat?
That's why we eat at lunchtime. If I'm honest, we probably eat the same things over a sort of 10-day period. I think I buy roughly the same things every week. Occasionally toss in something a bit different, but...
Yeah, that's what I remember when I was a child. Like, Mondays was...
Cold.
Not really bubble and squeak, yeah, or cold meat left from Sunday. Tuesdays might have been sausage and mash. Wednesday was shepherd's pie. Thursday was liver. Friday was fish.
Fish always,
It was the same Saturday on the same sausages, day of the week, wasn't it?
I think I'd still do that, actually.
Yeah.
But mainly because I'm lazy and I can't be bothered to think.
I do like recipe books.
I've got hundreds.
I do like this, and I like recipes in newspapers, but it's just, I don't really want to cook 7 days a week.
I changed mainly to follow a more Mediterranean diet, and that was because both my parents had heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and then my brother was the same. And then I think when I got to about 40, I just decided, you know, it was their lifestyle. And then I think when I had my blood test done once, my blood sugar was just a little bit high. And not, to me, it was really high because I didn't want it to go above, you know, the 4, whatever it is, you know. But, and I think a doctor that I saw, I've mentioned my concern about the family history. So now I have annual blood tests for my cholesterol and glucose and everything. And as one doctor, she explained, she said, you can, you know, if you may, because of your family history, it may be inevitable that whatever you do, however well you eat, you may still get type 2 diabetes, but the longer you can put it off, the better. Mm-hmm. So that was what changed for me. You know, just to keep all the levels down for as long as you possibly can.
I enjoy my food, but I think it's a bit more on the sort of fuel side for me, I think, because I notice it more if Helen's away, because if Helen's away, I'll live on what's in the fridge for 2 or 3 days, because there's always bits and pieces. And then I'll think to myself, oh, I've got to cook something for myself. Which I don't mind doing, but I tend to not start cooking until I'm hungry, because I'm not really interested until I feel hungry.
Yeah.
And then I'll scatter, you know, look around for bits and pieces to sort of throw something together. So for me, it's a bit, I enjoy the food, you know, even what Helen produces, I enjoy what I cook myself. I enjoy eating it, but I can't be bothered to sort of do it unless I'm actually hungry, I think. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, when my partner goes away, there's a tendency for me just to think, well, here's the biggest receptacle I've got, I'll fill it with food, cook it, and then work out how many days that will last me, and that will, you know, I won't have to think about food for that many days, and that will be fine. And then I just eat it. I don't particularly enjoy it, probably, but it, you know, I don't hate it, it's just there, like you say, it's fuel, and so I do that. My partner's completely the opposite. She can't accept having the same thing twice in a row, almost. And also, she can go in 5 minutes from not being hungry to shaking with hunger.
Oh.
And so that's quite bad for me, because then she has to have something to eat. So even though I don't need it, I'm quite likely to have something to eat with her. So that's quite weird. But I ought to enjoy food more than I do, especially because she's a very good cook, but it tends to be an afterthought, I'm afraid. You know.
When I was at university, I had anorexia nervosa, and I lost a lot of weight and became very thin. And at that time, food was not something. Food was an enemy, not a friend. And I used to dread it, really. I was hungry, but I was scared of food because I just wanted to get thinner and thinner, and food was a barrier to getting thinner. And although I was hungry and I wanted to eat, it was just like living in darkness for about two years, really. And I was depressed, and I lost my friends because they didn't know how to deal with it or what to do or how to talk to me or anything, really. And I was very much on my own, and it took about probably 20 years before I could sit down with other people and enjoy sharing food. Mm. I would do that, you know, but I never liked it. It was just, I'd just rather eat by myself for a long time. But eventually, I mean, now I really enjoy eating with other people and sharing food, and it's become a sociable thing again. But it takes a long, long time to recover from something like that, very long time. It was just very gradual, I think. I just very gradually sort of lost the fear of eating, because it was not that I didn't like food, it was just that I was afraid of food because food makes you fat. And I think gradually I just thought, well, this is something you can do in moderation, and if you eat it sensibly, you can stay a steady weight. You know, I was just terrified of going out of control and finding I was putting on weight and couldn't stop. And when I don't know, something in the brain made me realise that that wasn't going to happen, and I was in control. It just took a long time, really.
The only anxiety I've ever had about food is there not being enough of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
I put on a stone once. I sailed from Southampton to Cape Town. When I got on board the ship, I was 8 stone, and when I got off in Cape Town, I was 9 stone. I think you could safely say I ate my way all the way there. It's fantastic food. Mm. So I've always had a problem with my weight, always. Mm. I really have to be very strict, and no grazing. So if I was to start grazing, I'd never stop.
Oh, I was thinking, one of the reasons I don't get thin is that I keep weighing myself to see if I've lost any weight, and then if I've lost some weight, I think, oh, I don't need to be so careful about what I eat. And of course, it just goes round and round.
I understand that. If I get on the scales and I've lost some weight, I think, oh, we have a little treat.
It's very important, isn't it, to have treats and to have them stored up, ready to have. I have lots of treats, but they do vary. But they're quite often chocolate, and they're quite often alcohol. Mm. Cheese and biscuits and everything else. Yeah, I like sort of just nibbly treats like that.
My son lives overseas, and sometimes we FaceTime each other all the time. But if there's a celebration, they'll have champagne, and we'll have champagne, and we'll go cheers to each other.
I think the reward aspect is, I think, of getting to the end of a long day, or possibly a long, hard day, when I've done some work, and I think, gosh, I've done this today, and I've achieved something. And that's when I would probably either have a drink or dark chocolate, you know, really good dark chocolate. Mm. But not together.
I painted my lounge ceiling last night, and it's needed doing for ages. My lounge decorated, and I've scraped all the walls and everything last week, but I've been putting off the doing the ceiling. I hate it, but I did paint it last night, and sat down afterwards and had a glass of wine. But I would not have had that wine. My goal was to do the ceiling, and I wouldn't have had that wine until I completed it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a
reward. But if it gets things done, I'm not an alcoholic.
No, none of us are. You can tell.
But it's just a little treat, because I don't eat sweets or biscuits or anything. Mm. Nothing sweet, but to me that is a treat.
I do the same if I've done a lot of gardening. I think, yeah, and now I need to sit down and have a drink.
Sit and enjoy, look at what you've done and enjoy the flowers and, yeah.
You've also got the anticipation, because I just think, well, I'll carry on and I'll stop gardening at 6 o'clock and then I can have a drink.
That's right, yeah.
So it's you set anticipation yourself goals. And expectation.
But we, this reward business, we've been brought up with that, really. Children are rewarded all the time, aren't they, with food and drink.
If you eat your thing,
good.
If you can have your pudding.
That's right. Mm. Or if you're good, we can stop at the sweet shop. Mm. You can have an ice cream, or you know. Mm.
And it was always sugar when we were young, wasn't it? The rewards and treats were sweets and chocolate. It wasn't like an outing or a comic or something. It was sugar, which is interesting, isn't it? So that goes quite deep.
So everybody's compensating for lack of it during the Second World War.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.